Pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you that there's no other name under heaven whereby men and women can be saved, but by the name and the person of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of our message for this morning, are there any other churches like this one? Are there any other churches like this one? As I surveyed the past 5 years plus here, I was struck by that question. It was not mine. It was by the author Charles Foster, who asked this of another congregation, so I thought I would ask it of you. Are there any other churches like this one? We here at Fallbrook, we are part of the World Church of 15 million members. We are one of 61,000 churches that works in over 201 countries. And even though there are 15 million members a part of the World Church, there are 19 million who attend Sabbath school. And I'm one of 15,916 active ordained ministers in this church. The Fallbrook Church, this particular church, belongs to one of the nine unions. We belong to one of the seven conferences in the Pacific Union Conference. And we are one in Southeastern California Conference. We're one church of the 67,000 members. And I'm one of the 177 ordained ministers in this conference. And we are a church that gave $2.665 billion in tithe and an offering. A per capita giving of $181 per member. And I'm of the opinion that if we would do what the Lord asked us to do, we would have more money than we'd know what to do with. If we just doubled our per capita giving, we'd have to send money back. Instead of taking a 5% pay cut for all the workers in the conference, we could give them a 10% increase. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. I want to thank this church for being so faithful through all of the economic issues. We have been faithful to the Lord, and the Lord has kept us through this. And I thank you for that. Again, that has made my ministry a lot less stressful because of your faithfulness. With 15 million members worldwide, how in the world have we managed to be unified? And so I looked to the infant church, the church of the book of Acts, and found some source of encouragement. And so in the book of Acts, the second chapter, if you'll notice in the book of Acts, the second chapter, without any buildings in the sense that we have, without budgets like we have, without ministries that are funded like we do, without pianos, without guitars and other instruments, without the kinds of things that we do, the church managed to survive. And in fact, it thrived. And so I wanted to look just for a moment at why, how did the church make it, the infant church? And if you look at verse 38 of chapter 2 of Acts, you'll find that one of the reasons why the church prospered and made it in its infancy is because the church had God, the Holy Spirit, lead her. God the Holy Spirit in verse 38. That's how the church was able to make it. And in verse 41, the Bible says that 3,000 people were baptized in one day. That's the infant church that we read about in the Bible. And in verse 42, the church was able to make it. I want you to look at that verse while I'm talking to you, because you need to see that it's in there. The church was able to make it because of, the Bible says, doctrines, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. Now, I've had to eat my words on the fellowship and breaking bread. You know, I've had my issues with potluck. But I have to, it's there. The church flourished fellowshipping and breaking bread and prayer. And then verse 44. All who believed came together. Let me let you learn. You already know this. To stay strong, we have to come to church. Now, if you're sick or if there's a reason you cannot come, it's absolutely understood. But other than that, you are to be at church with one another. We have to come together. Don't let anyone tell you you can have church at home. You only have church at home if you're not able to get here for some reason. 3ABN is second tier. Oh, I know y'all didn't want to hear that, but it's true. Church in Acts. And that's what I like about this church. Are there any of the churches like this one? God spoke in Acts 2 and verse 8 to all people, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Egypt, Cyrene, Rome, Cretans, and Arabs. There it is. God spoke to all people. Are there any churches like this one? No and yes. Boy, that's kind of straddling both sides of the fence. No and yes. Are there any congregations like this one? No. Very few congregations, Adventists or not, can say that they're racially diverse like this congregation. And in fact, there will be very few of any congregation that I challenged in this whole country that will ever be able to say that they had a pastor, they had pastors who were black and Samoan. I challenge you, if you find another mixture like that, let me know. And then after that, black and Cuban Mexican. I challenge you to find another pair like that. Anywhere, in any denomination. Challenge you to find a congregation that's made up of Asian and Pacific Islanders and Hispanic and Caucasian and black, and you can add on all the others. I challenge you to find a congregation like that. In fact, we as pastor and congregation will never be the same again. We have exchanged each other's spiritual DNA. And people have said to me during the tenure here, and I agree and understand when they say, I don't see color. And when you say that, I understand. I don't see color, but maybe our journey together is so that we can see something good about each other's color. And to make sure that the church flourished and was unified, at the very beginning, God made sure that they could understand each other. So he gave the gift of languages to the early church. And how did the church manage to stay unified, yet they were so different? There were those who will say that, Pastor, you're not different. And when you say that, I understand what you're saying, but it's really not true. I'm different. In fact, I'm different from my wife. In fact, you know something? We're even different colors. I said this morning, I'll probably get in trouble saying this now, but I'll say it. I have nothing to go on. This is strictly conjecture. You can challenge me on it, and I would probably lose the challenge. I am convinced, and I'm not sure how, that when we all get to heaven, that is a good chance that we will be our own color. I don't know if you'll recognize me if I'm white. And I may not recognize you if you become black. Have you ever thought about that? Whatever we are, it's a good chance we'll probably be that in order to recognize each other. I don't have anything to go on that. You can challenge me on that. I don't have anything on that. We are different, but yet we remain strong and unified. You know what unifies us despite our differences? It's that the God of the book of Acts is Jesus. And Jesus always provides a unifying religious climate. He'll take you regardless of your race, your ethnicity, your agenda, or your class. He just asks that we would give our hearts to him and let him radically change our behavior and our belief. You know what unifies our church today? Are there any other churches like this one? No. And yes. I would say no because we as a church, and I'd like to share with you a scripture that you can, in fact, you probably don't even need to turn there because you know it so well. Revelation 14 and verse 12. God saw a people at the end time, and this is what he saw. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And with that particular scripture, there is none like us. We keep the Ten Commandments, including the Fourth Commandment, which honors the seventh day Sabbath. And then we have the faith of Jesus. I would say there is no church like this one. In fact, I would tell you, and I want to let, there are some great churches out there of other denominations, of other faith groups. There are good Christian churches out there, but there are none like us. And in fact, I'll tell you, Seventh-day Adventist Christian, there is no place for you to go if you leave here. I mean, there is no place for you to go. Challenge you to find another church that keeps the commandment of God and has the faith of Jesus. Challenge you to find that anywhere else. There's no place else to go. Who else teaches the great controversy? I talked about that last week. Like our church. And we believe that the fate of the world rests on our teaching and our preaching. We know that the end is coming soon, and our Lord is going to come back. But I would like to leave with you a text that Jesus cited a few hours before Gethsemane and a few days before the cross. And I want you to turn there, because I want you to, if you don't have this text marked, I want you to mark it. These are said, this is a text said by Jesus. And I don't know if there's a more important text in all of the Bible. The Gospel of St. John, the 12th chapter. The Gospel of St. John, the 12th chapter. And verse 32. And you may have it already marked. And if you have one of the Bibles that has red letter kinds of things, it's probably in red. And I read it, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. What a text. What a text. Some of you may be concerned that I'm moving on to other things. Don't be concerned. God says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all people to myself. Fallbrook, you have a problem. If you would let Jesus, if you would lift him up and let Jesus come in here and come into your hearts, you got a problem. The plan, Mike, that we're planning to do for the church is too small. It's too small. Think of the impact we would have if we lift up Jesus with our prophecy, with the Ten Commandments, with the Sabbath. If we lift up the cross, you would not have room for the people who would come into this church. Do you believe that? That's what Jesus says. So, I pray that you'll miss me as a brother. I pray that a year or two from now that you could hardly remember my name. There are so many people in here. You have so many problems with space that when I come back here, I have to sit on a chair in the back. That's what God has promised. Do you believe that can be done in his name? Oh, if I, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples. That means Spanish people who speak English. They don't have a language issue. Korean people who speak English, who don't use that as a language issue. I hope you understand where I'm getting at. Because the trend in which we're going is not the trend of the infant New Testament church. The trend we seem to be going to is the trend to separate, when in fact God brings together. I pray that's where we would move as a church. Exactly where you've moved to, Fallbrook. Oh, there's an area that you still have to go. And it hasn't been all rosy here with us. Come on, y'all notice the truth, right? But I am so grateful that with Jesus' help, we are leaving on a high note, all of us. Amen? And I'll feel comfortable whenever I visit and come back here that this is my church too. And I know there'll be, when the new guy comes, whoever that is, that person will bring strengths that I just never had. And that's why I'm kind of moving over so you can talk about me honestly. Amen. Don't act like that, doesn't it? That's what happens, folks. That's transition. That's what happens. And that will be a good thing. And you know what happens over the years? I'll do it and you'll do it. I'll be better than what I really was. Right? And vice versa. Come on, am I right? Isn't that, things look better when you get away from it. And that'll be the case. I'll be a lot better when I've moved forward and moved, you know, and vice versa. And that's how things work. But behind it all, I pray that you have gotten the message that this is about Jesus. It's always been about him. Amen? It's always been about him. Just want to relate a story as I close that speaks to lifting up the cross of Christ. In 2005, I was away at school, part of my doctor ministry work, and I was in the Atlanta area. And the police were coming out of everywhere. You see, Brian Nichols, who was being transferred from one part of the court to the other, took a deputy's weapon. And you might remember that he killed four people and escaped. And he escaped into the Atlanta area for several days. It was the largest manhunt in the history of Georgia. And this... And it doesn't quite end the way we all thought it was going to end, because he took a young lady hostage. Her name was Ashley Smith. And he tied her up, but at some point during having her there, he untied her, and she fixed him some food. And they got to talking, and she was sharing her experience, and she shared with Brian Nichols her testimony. And most of the news reports from that story is that she read from the book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life, and that book just took off. And that's a good thing. But most people don't tell that she read the Bible to him and then the parts of Purpose-Driven Life. And while Bryant was watching television, and I believe that the Bible did this, Jesus did that, while he was watching television, a part of the news report came over about the crime, and he was watching television, and he looked up to the ceiling and said, "Lord, forgive me." And he's been sentenced, and rightfully so, and he won't be getting out of prison. But the police did not so much, and he let Ashley go so she could check on her daughter, and she called 911. But when the police came there to the Bridgewater Apartments or whatever, Brian Nichols had a white towel, waving retreat before they got there. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. And if he can do it for Brian Nichols, what could he do in Fallbrook and Temecula and Marietta and Escondido and the surrounding cities? Fallbrook, there is no other congregation like you. Make it so in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. There's no other congregation like this. And maybe there never will be. For we have learned from one another. We have grown together. And we've even had our pains together. We have, unfortunately, had eulogies over a number of people here. We've married some. We've blessed some. And we baptized some. But the common thread through all of that has been the power of the Holy Spirit, testimony and the witness of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this journey and for this experience. May it make us stronger Christians. May it make us Christians with resolve not to leave you no matter what. Until that day when we will join, never to part, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.